Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church family. For those visiting, I'm Pastor Terry. I'm the outreach pastor here at East Rock. And we're in a series, Never Alone. Our goal is to remind you that whether you're facing anxiety, depression, or broken relationships, you are never alone. First, because God is with you, and second, because your church family stands beside you. So we're in a third week of a series, and today it's a vital topic, it's a heavy topic, serious health issues. But before we get going, I know there's children, they already know what to do. I see them running to the back, they see Miss Stephanie, and they are ready. You've already heard the pitter-patter. Okay, because they know what's going to happen. Kids City is open, and they are ready to go learn about Jesus, sing songs, eat snacks, and boy, are they ever going to have a fun day. So, awesome. So, happy Mother's Day. And that's guys, too. All right. So, I am so glad that you are joining us. Today is a profound celebration of women. We see you, and we honor you, and we thank God for the way you reflect his heart to the world. I'm a woman, and I can say that. Yes. I want to start today by simply saying we are never alone. Whether today is a day of great joy for you, filled with flowers, phone calls, for a day that feels a bit quiet, I want you to remember a promise we find in the book of Matthew, that Jesus is the one who takes up our infirmities and bears our diseases. He is the weight lifter. And today, we're going to look at what it looks like when he walks the marathon of life with us. I know that this day can hold both joy and quiet ache for many of us in this room. And while I may not know every story, I do know that God, he stands in the center of them all. For me, personally, Mother's Day has been a journey of finding God's grace in the gaps. Now, let me explain that. I've never birthed a biological child, and I know the quiet longing for what might have been. And for many of us, the weight of this day comes because of our own mothers like mine, whom I love so dearly, are celebrating in heaven now. My mom passed away 5 years ago this past Wednesday. But God doesn't wait for the road to be easy to show up. He shows up in the middle of the mess and turns it into a message. I can say, I get it, not to bring you down, but to lift you up to the one who understands. That is why today we celebrate women, the mothers, daughters, aunts, sisters, and friends, the women who nurture dreams and build futures. It is amazing how God fills our lives in ways we never expect. See, I look around this room, and I see how God blesses me through your children and through your grandchildren. From the little ones that run to me to wrap their arms around me, or those who want to play tag or hide and seek after second service, to the teenagers who come up to me for a hug or for me to pray with them, you have shared your families with me. And the ball games, plays, band concerts, in those moments, I see the Father's love. God was faithful to bringing to me my precious Thomas, and through him, gifting me with my daughter, Melissa Vargo. I share this because we often think the weight we carry disqualifies us. But I've learned that God uses the gaps in our lives as conduits for his grace. Women, today we honor you. Whether you have children of your own or you have nurtured the souls of others, your love is a reflection of the divine. You are seen, you are loved, and you are never alone. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Notice where Jesus is here. He isn't in the temple or standing on a mountain. He is in a home. He is in the kitchen. He's in the hallway. For many of us, our marathons aren't run in public. They are run in the quiet of our living rooms, in the exhaustion of caregiving, or in the heat of a literal or metaphorical fever. Peter's mother-in-law didn't have to go find him. He came to her. He saw her physical exhaustion, and he met her right where she was laying. If you feel stuck in bed by the weight of life today, know that Jesus enters your house. He isn't waiting for you to get well to visit you. He visits you to make you well. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. The Greek word for took up literally means to lift and carry away. He doesn't just sympathize with your heavy load from a distance. He stands under the weight with you. When you feel like the backpack of your life is too heavy to take another step, remember this. Jesus isn't just cheering from the sidelines of your marathon. He is running next to you, offering his shoulder to lean on. He doesn't just watch us. He carries us. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 21. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. 12 years, that's a long marathon. For 12 years, this woman was socially distanced before that was a term we knew. She was exhausted, broken, likely felt invisible. She didn't want a scene. She wanted a touch. Sometimes we feel like we have to have big faith to get God's attention. But this woman shows us that when we're desperate, a fingertip faith is enough. She reached out in the middle of a crowd and through hundreds was pressing against Jesus. He felt her specific touch. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." I love that Jesus stops the whole parade for one person. He didn't just heal her body. He restored her identity. He calls her daughter. To the world, she was a medical case. To the crowd, she was an interruption. To Jesus, she was a daughter. On this Mother's Day, some of you need to hear that word more than any other. Before you're a mother, a caregiver, or a professional, you are a daughter of the Most High. You are seen not just for what you do, but for whose you are. To show us what this never alone life looks like, I've invited a dear friend who defines the word overcomer, Sherry Morgan, to join me. Thomas, will you assist Sherry? Sherry. Thank you for being here. We first met back in 2012 at our Harrisonburg campus, and Sherry and I have really done life together. And let me tell you what, friends, long before Sherry received her own diagnosis, she was the hands and feet of Jesus to my own mother. For the last 6 years of my mom's life, as her world grew dark, Sherry was there, bringing mom flowers, reading to her, sitting by her side. Sherry, your journey is proof that God's presence is greater than any prognosis. So Sherry is walking through a chapter where your own physical sight has faded, but your spiritual vision is clearer than ever. And you're here to show us that when the path is hard to see, that we are never alone. So I want to start at the beginning. If you'll take us back to that day at the doctor's office when you went in for a thought that it was a routine checkup, but you walked out with a report that changed your life. What exactly did the doctor tell you that day, and what were the honest thoughts and fears that flooded your mind in that moment?
Well, Pastor Terry, that day was almost 24 years ago. I was in Savannah, Georgia at the time. I'm originally from Georgia, and I had an annual eye appointment. Those were nothing new to me because I was diagnosed as severely nearsighted at age 7, and I always wore really thick eyeglasses and made my way around. But when I arrived for my appointment that day, my visual acuity exam, that's if you're not familiar with that, it's usually a technician who will ask you how many fingers am I holding out over here. And when she got to my left eye, I couldn't see any fingers, and it didn't really alarm me at first. I thought, you know, maybe I didn't turn my head far enough or something. But when the doctor came in and she told him, he almost you know, put the whole eye exam aside and started trying to figure out why I couldn't see the fingers. So my appointment was for 8 o'clock that morning. I was going to be at work by 9:30. And when I left the eye doctor at 3:30 that day, they weren't exactly sure what it was, but the preliminary diagnosis was I either had a tumor somewhere or I had glaucoma. And the reason I had no vision, I had lost half of the vision in my left eye, and I didn't even know it, but I had had a softball injury to that eye when I was 15 years old. So I left the eye doctor that day and thought, wow, you know, I didn't notice anything different. I still drove there, and I drove away and went back to work and was able to do my job and see about my children at home, read them bedtime stories. But I thought, oh no, am I gonna be blind? Is this, you know, am I gonna lose my eyesight? And, you know, I was afraid, but from the time I was a little girl and I went to the Nazarene church with my grandmother, the very first memory verse that I ever remember being taught by my grandmother was Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So I thought, you know, I remembered that. I always carried that, you know, when I was a little girl and growing up, when, you know, in times when I was fearful. And I thought, you know, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I knew he had his hand on my life because I had given my life to God when I was 7 years old. I had accepted him as my personal savior. And so I knew he would take care of me. He would have me in his hand and keep his hand on me. So that day of diagnosis, it wasn't, you know, I was a little fearful, but it became more fearful when the treatments to lower my eye pressure weren't working and I was continuing to lose vision in my left eye. And then at some point, within just a few years, they started noticing a blind spot in my right eye. And that progressed and to the point where I am now. I see shapes and colors. I had to stop driving in 2021, which was about the time that the church was getting back to normal after COVID. And I listened online through COVID and continued to listen through until I started coming to the East Rock campus. But all along the way, each time I noticed that it was, you know, my condition was progressing, I just continued to put my faith and trust in God because I know he's going to have his hand on me. Whether I can see again in this world, I know I'll see again one day.
Wow. Thank you for reminding us that we aren't just a diagnosis, but we're his children. Your strength is a witness, Sherry, to us all. Your words are powerful, and your trust in Jesus truly shines through. So from where you sit today, what is the one thing that you've learned about God's faithfulness that keeps you moving forward even when the path is too hard to see?
In every circumstance, when I face obstacles that, not necessarily physical obstacles, but I'm reminded, God reminds me of his faithfulness to us. You know, my whole life, I was brought up in church. I was fortunate to attend Christian schools for elementary school. And if you've ever attended Christian school, Vacation Bible School, Sunday school, you memorize scriptures. And those scriptures are in my heart and in my mind. And God reminds me of those on so many occasions. You know, I can't pick up a Bible now and turn the pages to a chapter and verse, but I know that God's promises are there. I know that they're in my heart. They're, I'm reminded daily. I told Pastor Terry last evening that I've been doing a read the Bible through plan, and yesterday morning, reading the Bible is my screen reader on my phone reads it to me, and so I went to the daily Bible reading yesterday, and she had told me the scripture she was going to use about the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And so yesterday morning I started reading, and there are two chapters from the Old Testament, a chapter from the New Testament, and then a chapter from the book of Psalms. And yesterday morning when it got to the New Testament, it was the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And I was sitting there like, oh, Lord. I just felt his touch, knowing that that would be the scripture for today and that I would be up here today. And then for the psalm reference, I told you the scripture my grandmother taught me when I was a little girl. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In the book of Psalms for yesterday was Psalm 56, the whole chapter. So those are the ways I'm reminded of God's faithfulness to me. And he's been faithful. He makes a way. There are times when I'm stressing about, oh, goodness, I have an appointment. How am I going to get into town? How am I going to do that? And God makes a way. And he's made a way from the time when I had to stop driving until I had to stop work last year. He's made a way for me. When I didn't think there was a way, when I didn't know I needed the way, he's always been there. He knows what we have need of before we know.
What a beautiful glimpse of God's heart. Thank you for revealing that to us. Sherry, we often talk about faith as a big mountaintop concept, but you're living it in the quiet, the grit your teeth moments, if I can say, of every single day, whether it's a Monday morning when the week feels really long, or it's a Saturday when the house is quiet. In those moments when you are simply trying to navigate your day, how do you practically hold the Master's hand? I mean, what is his presence? You've been telling us, like, how he showed up with the reading, but the other ways, actually, does it look like in the middle of that normal afternoon?
I know that I can call on God when no one else is around, and sometimes the days get really long when you're sitting in a room, and it's my home, so I'm familiar with it, and I know my way around in it. But God, I can call on him. I can pray to him, and he hears my cries. And I've always loved music, and grew up in a musical family in Georgia. And God reminds me with the song or scriptures that, I memorized as a child, or he'll bring the thought to me. And the wonderful thing about smartphones is I can ask the assistant in the phone to, what is the scripture? And she will bring it to me, and I can go to my Bible app and ask it, call it up, and my phone will read the scripture to me. In those days, I know I feel God's presence more, that he has his hand on me. He knows what I have need of before a problem arises. He usually has things worked out. I was telling Pearl here recently that from the time I had to stop driving until today, I've not always gotten everything I wanted, but God's met all of my needs, carried me.
That's so encouraging. I have one last thing I want to ask you. If you could go back to that very first day, knowing what you know now, to that moment you sat in the doctor's office and you heard that report, if you could lean in and tell that version of yourself one thing about the road ahead and how God's presence met you and met you were actually, God's presence met you were actually never alone, what would you say to her?
I would tell my younger self to always trust God. There have been times when I tried to figure things out on my own or work things out, and those are the times when I just create more anxiety for myself. But I would have told the younger Sherry to trust God completely for all of my needs, for everything that I have need of, because he knows what we have need of.
Wow, Sherry, you've shown us what it looks like to walk with the Master through your own darkness. And your 14-year friendship is a gift to me. I love you. And I'm so grateful for your openness today. Thomas is going to come and help. And I'm going to say, church family, wow, let's talk about the goodness of God, and let's thank Sherry for what a powerful witness of his grace. Sherry's story is a witness of a marathon. For every one of us, whatever your burden, diagnosis, a struggle with a child, or a season of exhaustion, the promise remains. He is the burden bearer. I want us to move from me to us. Everyone, please stand up if you're able. I want you to reach out and place a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And if you see someone standing alone, please go to that person now. Join them, because we don't want anyone standing alone during this time, because we're family. Now look at this. Look around the room. This is the church. We aren't just talking about miracles from 2,000 years ago. The miracle is standing beside of you. When your eyes are tired, we will be your eyes. When your hands are heavy, we will lift them up. On the count of three, I want us to declare a truth together, just as loud as you can do it. I want us to make a declaration, and it's four words we're all going to say out loud. I'm going to tell you what they are, and then we're going to, that's like the warm-up, and then we're going to say it. So the four words are, we are not alone. So I want you to say it, and you know, you're touching this person's shoulder to your side, so say it so they can really hear you. Okay, so one, two, three. We are not alone. Woo! Okay, band, if you'd please come on forward and play softly. You're still good where you are. Don't get nervous, y'all. Okay, Matthew 8:17 says, he took up our weight. That means he unbuckles the heavy backpack you've been wearing, and he swings it onto his own shoulders. The enemy wants you to feel isolated, but your struggle is exactly where Jesus meets you. If you're in a marathon and you need a hand to hold, I want you to come now. I'm going to be up front. Pastor Jared's going to be in the back. I don't want anyone to leave today carrying
alone what Jesus died on the cross for us to carry. We're going to have enough time. The band's going to be playing. So during this time, the altars are open. You can stand and sing. You can sit and pray. You can come to Pastor Jared or you can come to me. But please come now. Don't leave this building when God is speaking to you about something that's heavy in your life.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.